Now we come to the Pentecost of 1935. It's June 9th. See what idea, inspiration. As I was walking in the garden in the evening, I heard these words. By your entreaties, you and your companions shall obtain mercy for yourselves and for the world. I understood that I would not remain in the congregation in which I am at the present time. I saw clearly that God's will regarding me was otherwise, but I kept making excuses before God, telling him that I was unable to carry out this task. Quote, Jesus, you know very well what I am. Close bracket. I said, and I started enumerating my weaknesses to the Lord, hiding behind them so that he would agree that I am unable to carry out his plans. Then I heard these words, do not fear. I myself will make up for everything that is lacking. But these words penetrated me to the depths and made me even more aware of my misery. And I understood that the word of the Lord is living and that it penetrates to the very depths. I understood that God demands a more perfect way of life of me. However, I kept using my incompetence as an excuse. So she doesn't want to follow 100%. She's afraid. June 29th, 1945, when I talked to my spiritual director, Father Sopoku, about various things that the Lord was asking of me, I thought he would tell me that I was incapable of accomplishing all those things and that the Lord Jesus did not use miserable souls like me for the works he wanted done. All the excuses. But I heard words that it was just such souls that God chooses most frequently to carry out his plans. So Jesus, God chose the weak people to do strong things. This priest is surely guided by the Spirit of God. He has penetrated the secrets of my soul, the deepest secrets which were between me and God, about which I had not yet spoken to him, because I had not understood them myself, and the Lord had not clearly ordered me to tell him. The secret is, God demands that there be a congregation which will proclaim the mercy of God to the world and by its prayers obtain it for the world. That means you have to start another new congregation, mainly for divine mercy. That was in her heart. That's why she was scared. When the priest asked me if I had not had any such inspirations, I replied that I had not had any clear orders. But at that instant, a light penetrated my soul and understood that the Lord was speaking through him. In vain had I defended myself by saying I had not received any clear orders. For at the end of our conversation, I saw the Lord Jesus on the threshold, as he is represented in the image, and he said to me, I desire that there be such a congregation. So clear. This lasted only a moment, yet I did not tell him about it right away, as I was in a hurry to get back home. And I kept repeating to the Lord, I'm unable to carry out your plans, O Lord. But strangely enough, Jesus said, paid no attention to my appeals, but gave me to see and understand how pleasing this work was to him. He took no account of my weakness, but gave me to know how many difficulties I must overcome. And I, his poor creature, could say nothing, but I am incapable of it, O my God. June 30th, 1935. At the very beginning of the Holy Mass on the following day, I saw Jesus in all his unspeakable beauty. He said to me that he desired that such a congregation be founded as soon as possible, and you shall live in it together with your companions. My spirit shall be the rule of your life. Your life is to be modeled on mine, from the crypt to my death on the cross. Penetrate my miseries, and you will know the abyss of my mercy towards centuries and my unfathomable goodness, and they shall make known to the world. Through your prayers, you shall meditate between heaven and earth. Interesting, eh? Then came the moment to receive Holy Communion, and Jesus disappeared, and I saw great brightness. Then I heard these words, "We give our blessing." And at that moment, a bright ray issued from the lights and pierced my heart. An extraordinary fire was enkindled in my soul. I thought I would die of joy and happiness. I felt a separation of my spirit from my body. I felt totally immersed in God. I felt I was snatched up by the Almighty, like a particle of dust, into unknown expanses. Trembling with joy in the embrace of the Creator, I felt He Himself was supporting me so that I could bear this great happiness and gaze at His Majesty. I know now that if He Himself had not first strengthened me by His grace, my soul would not have been able to bear the happiness, and I would have died in an instant. You can die of joy, not only of sorrow. Sometimes we say, "I die because so sad." But even joy. Holy Mass came to an end, I know not when, for it was beyond my power to pay attention to what was going on in the chapel. But when I recovered my senses, I felt the strength and the courage to do God's will. Nothing seemed difficult to me. And whereas I had previously been making excuses to the Lord, I now felt the Lord's courage and strength within me. And I said to the Lord, "I'm ready for every peck and call of your will." In theory, I had gone through everything that I was going to experience in the future. Oh, my Creator and Lord, my entire being is yourself. Dispose of me according to your divine pleasure and according to your eternal plans and your unfathomable mercy. May every soul know how good the Lord is. May no soul fear to commune intimately with the Lord. May no soul use unworthiness as an excuse. May it never postpone God's invitation, for that is not pleasing to the Lord. There is no soul more wretched than I am, as I truly know myself, and I am astonished that Divine Majesty stoops so low. O Eternity, it seems to me that you are too short to extol the infinite mercy of the Lord. That's your prayer. Once the image was being exhibited over the altar during Corpus Christi procession, that was in June 20th, 1935, when the priest exposed the Blessed Sacrament and the choir began to sing, the rays from the image pierced the sacred host and spread out all over the world the light in the image to the Blessed Sacrament that day. Then I heard these words: "These rays of mercy will pass through you just as they have passed through these holes, and they will go out through all the world." At these words, profound joy invaded my soul. Once, when my confessor was saying Mass, I saw, as usual, the child Jesus on the altar from the time of the offertory. However, a moment before the elevation, the priest vanished from the sight, and Jesus alone remained. When the moment of the elevation approached, Jesus took the host and the chalice in his little hand and raised them together. Baby Jesus, the priest disappeared. Baby Jesus holding the host and the chalice. Looking up to heaven, at a moment later, I again saw my confessor. I asked the child Jesus where the priest had been during the time I had not seen him. Jesus answered, "In my heart." But I could not understand anything more of these words of Jesus. The priest disappeared in the heart of Jesus, baby Jesus. On one occasion, I heard these words: "I decide that you live according to my will in the most secret depths of my soul, of your soul." I reflected on these words, which spoke very much to my heart. This was on the date of confessions for the community. When I went to confession and had accused myself of all of my sins, the priest, Father Sopoco, repeated to me the same words that the Lord had previously spoken. The priest spoke these profound words to me: "There are 3 degrees in the accomplishment of God's will. And the first, the soul carries out all rules and statutes pertaining to external observance. In the second degree, the soul accepts interior inspirations and carries them out faithfully. In the third degree, the soul, abandoned to the will of God, allows him to dispose of it freely, and God does with it as he pleases, and it is a docile tool in his hands." And the priest said that I was at the second degree in the accomplishment of God's will, and that I had not yet reached the third degree, but that I should strive to attain it. These words pierced my soul. I see clearly that God often gives the priest knowledge of what is going on in the depths of my soul. This does not surprise me at all. Indeed, I thank God that he has such chosen persons. Thursday, Nocturnal Adoration. When it came for adoration, an inner recollection took hold of me immediately, and I saw the Lord Jesus tied to a pillar, stripped off his clothes, and the scourging began immediately. I saw 4 men who took turns at striking the Lord with scourges. My heart almost stopped at the sight of these tortures. The Lord said to me, "I suffer even greater pain than which you see." And Jesus gave me to know for what sins he subjected himself to the scourging. These are sins of impurity. Oh, how dreadful was Jesus' moral suffering during the scourging. So not only physical, psychological, spiritual, for the sins of the humankind. Then Jesus said to me, "Look, and see the human race in its present condition. So although it is the last century, today, nothing better. In an instant, the so horrible things, the executioner left Jesus and other people started scourging him. They retired in a second turn. They seized the scourges and struck the Lord mercilessly. These were priests, religious men and women, and high dignitaries of the church, which surprised me greatly. The first turn represent the lay people, and the second turn strike Jesus is the church people. They were lay people of all ages and walk of life, all vented their malice on the innocent Jesus. Seeing this, my heart fell as if into mortal agony. And while the executioners had been scourging him, Jesus had been silent and looking into the distance. But when those other souls are mentioned scourge him, Jesus closed his eyes, and a soft but most painful moan escaped from his heart. And Jesus gave me to know in detail the gravity of the malice of these ungrateful souls. You see, this is a torture greater than my death, than my lips fell silent, and I began to experience the agony of death, and I felt that no one would comfort me or snatch me from the state of the one who had put me into it. Then the Lord said to me, I see the sincere pain of your heart, which brought great solace to my heart. See and take comfort. So at times we share the pain of Jesus worthwhile. Jesus understood. Offer your pain first of all, not just to complain. Jesus, for you, share. Then I saw the Lord Jesus nailed to the cross. When he had hung on it for a while, I saw a multitude of souls crucified like him. Then I saw a second multitude of souls and a third. The second multitude were not nailed to the crosses, but were holding them in their hands. The third were neither nailed to the crosses, but holding them firmly in their hands, but were dragging crosses behind them and were discontent. Jesus said to me, do you see these souls? Those who are like me in the pain and contempt they suffer will be like me also in glory. And those who resemble me less in pain and contempt will also bear less resemblance to me in glory. Among the crucified souls, the most numerous were those of the clergy. I also saw some crucified soul whom I knew, and this gave me great joy. Then Jesus said to me, in a meditation tomorrow, you shall think about what you have seen today. And immediately Jesus disappeared on me. Friday, I was ill and could not attend Holy Mass. At 7 o'clock in the morning, I saw my confessor celebrating Mass, during which I saw the child Jesus. Toward the end of the Mass, the vision disappeared, and I found myself back in the cell as before. So she didn't go to the chapel, but she had Mass on her bed. Indescribable joy took hold of me because although I could not go to Mass in our own chapel, I assisted at it in the church which was far distant. Jesus has a remedy for everything. By location, she was in another big church for Mass. Very interesting, yeah? July 30th, 1935. Feast of St. Ignatius. I prayed fervently to these saints, reproaching him for looking on and not coming to my aid in such important matters as doing the will of God. I said to him, "You, a patron, who are inflamed with the fire of love and zeal for the greater glory of God, I humbly beg you to help me to carry out God's design." This was during Holy Mass. Then I saw St. Ignatius at the left side of the altar with a great book in his hand. And he spoke these words to me, "My daughter, I am not indifferent to your cause. This rule can be adapted, and it can be adapted to the congregation." And gesturing with his hand toward the big book, he disappeared. I rejoiced greatly at the fact of how much the saints think of us and how closely we are united with them. Oh, the goodness of God! How beautiful is the spiritual world, that already here on earth we commune with the saints. All day long I could feel the presence of this dear patron saint. August 5th, 1935, the Feast of Our Lady of Mercy. I prepared for this feast with greater zeal than in previous years. On the morning of that feast, I experienced an inner struggle at the thought that I must leave this congregation which enjoys such special protection from Mary. This struggle lasted through the meditation and through the first Mass as well. During the second Mass, I turned to our Holy Mother, telling her that it was difficult for me to separate myself from this congregation, which is under your special protection, O Mary. Then I saw the Blessed Virgin, unspeakable beautiful. She came down from the altar to my Lila, held me close to herself, and said to me, "I am mother to you all, thanks to the unfathomable mercy of God. Most pleasing to me is that soul which faithfully carries out the will of God." She gave me to understand that I had faithfully fulfilled the will of God and had thus found favor in his eyes. "Be courageous, do not fear apparent obstacles, but fix your gaze upon the passion of my Son. In this way, you will be victorious." Nocturnal adoration. I was suffering very much, and it seemed to me I would not be able to make any adoration. But I gathered up all my willpower, and although I collapsed in my cell, I paid no attention to what ailed me, for I had the passion of Jesus before my eyes. When I entered the chapel, I received an inner understanding of the great reward that God is preparing for us, not only for our good deeds, but also for our sincere desire to perform them. What a great grace of God this is. So good intentions also helps. Although sometimes we're going to change much things in the world, at least your desire that comes. Oh, how sweet it is to toil for God and souls. I want no respite in this battle, but had fight to the last breath for the glory of my King and Lord. I should have laid the sword aside until he calls me upon his throne. I fear no blows, because God is my shield. In the enemy, who would fear us and not we him? Sudden defeats only the proud and the cowardly, because the humble are strong. So one of the remedies, fight against sudden is humility. When you are proud, you are in His hand. Be humble all the time. Less temptation. Nothing will confuse or frighten a humble soul. It's not easy. Many times we're scared of many things because we are not humble enough. Is it? It's a consequence, no? This logic. Many times we are afraid of so many things, we are not humble enough. I have directed my flights at the very center of my sun, or the sun's heat, and nothing can lower its course. Love will not allow itself to be taken prisoner. It is free like a queen. Love attains God. Here, love means humble, humility. Once after Holy Communion, I heard these words, "You are our dwelling place." At that moment, I felt in my soul the presence of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I felt that I was the temple of God. I felt I was a child of the Father. I cannot explain all this, but the Spirit understands it well. Oh, infinite goodness, how low you stooped to your miserable creature. So, she's really humble, no? She always says, "I'm not worthy, I'm miserable." Then she got disgrace. If only souls would become recollected, God would speak to them at once. For dissipation drowns out the word of the Lord. On one occasion, the Lord said to me, "Why are you fearful and why do you tremble when you are united to me? I am displeased when I am so used to vain terrors. Who will dare to touch you when you are with me?" Most dear to me is a soul that strongly believes in my goodness and has complete trust in me. I heaped my confidence upon it and give it all it asks. So, revive our trust in Jesus. Whenever you are afraid of anything, Jesus, I trust in you. Confide everything in His hand. Be humble. Once the Lord said to me, "My daughter, take the graces that others spoon. Take as many as you can carry." At that moment, my soul was inundated with the love of God. I feel that I am united with the Lord so closely that I cannot find words to express that union. In this state, I suddenly feel that all the things God has, all the goods and treasures are mine, although I felt little store by them, for He alone is enough for me. In Him, I see my everything. Without Him, nothing. Jesus. Just Jesus Himself is all, is our all. Sometimes we say we are lonely because we don't have Him at all. That's why we look for friends, gossips, judging, crying, because we lack the presence of the Lord in us, the presence of Jesus. I looked for no happiness beyond my own interior where God dwells. I rejoice that God dwells within me. Here I abide with Him unendingly. It is here that my greatest intimacy with Him exists. Here I dwell with Him in safety. Here is a place not probed by the human eye. The Blessed Virgin encourages me to commune with God in this way. Keep Him always in your heart, Jesus, the first and the only person that you love truly. When some suffering afflicts me, it no longer causes me any bitterness. Now, when you re-entrust yourself in the Lord, even suffering is not that much hurt you. Lord, do great consolations carry me away, even something joyful, or if you're indifferent. Once you have the Lord, you have the all. So even joyful, sorrowful, doesn't affect you much. You are in Him. So ask this special grace. They always, you know, otherwise we will complain because at the time your work is not always pleasant. Maybe this person is good, another person look good. You know, you are always not ever in peace, no? Once you have Jesus, even people praise you, doesn't matter. Even this hurt you, doesn't care, because you have Jesus. Keep. That's very important. I'm filled with the peace and equanimity that flows from the knowledge of this truth. How can living surrounded by unfriendly hearts do me any harm when I enjoy full happiness within my soul? Or how can having kind hearts around me hurt me when I do not have God within me? When God dwells within me, who can harm me? So even people hurt you, doesn't hurt you much. Even people helping you, doesn't help much. If you don't have God, what kind of help they can give you? Only the source, the root, is the Lord. Okay, next time we will continue with the 3-day retreat. Lots of inspirations. The 3-day retreat is very good. Huh? So let us.